Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can get that app anywhere. You get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. You look for the Odyssey app, big orange background with a white A, download it. Once it's in, search for WILK News Radio, favorite us, and that's it. You get us each and every time, any place. Works seamlessly with your CarPlay. It's a good little tool to have. It is 91 degrees, 308 here on this Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. Yes, we are here live in the flesh. Jake is in the control room. I am here on the radio, and we have lots to talk about today. You can call or text 570-883-0098 through the day. Well, through the afternoon anyway, and discuss what's on your mind. I do have some breaking news. Yes, I do have some breaking news. Former Vice President Kamala Harris has announced that she will not run for governor of California, putting an end to speculation that she would seek the state's top executive role after her loss in the presidential race in November. In recent months, I've given serious thought to asking the people of California for a privilege to serve as their governor. I love this state, its people, and its promise. It is my home, but after deep reflection, I've decided that I will not run for governor in this election, Harris said in a statement. So that's some breaking news for today. Really doesn't affect us, but it does kind of show where her future may or may not be going. Is she going to run for president again? We don't know. But at least she will not be running for governor of California. There was also just a press conference in New York City from mayoral candidate Mamdani, the socialist candidate for mayor, who has a lengthy history of asking for defunding the police, calling the NYPD racists, and a whole plethora of anti-police statements. And, of course, his political hat is on now, so he's walking it back a little bit, not totally distancing himself, saying, well, you know, police have changed its direction on what it – no, the people who direct the police have changed their direction, not the police, simply because you don't want to enforce laws and you want the law enforcement in New York City to be the city's Band-Aid for all your failed policies has a little bit to blame with it. What's interesting, though, is one of the units that he has directly called for disbanding is what's called the Strategic Response Group. And there are hundreds of NYPD officers that are assigned to the Strategic Response Group. If you've gone to New York City over the past year or so or 2 years, in touristy areas, they are the ones that usually have long rifles. They are dressed a little more tactically with heavy vests and helmets. And they're there to ensure a higher presence of safety because of the world we live in now. They also respond to a lot of the protests that have been happening because there are different parts of that unit. Now, that being said, they were the main group that responded. I mean, everyone responded, but they were the only entities with the firepower capacity to deal with this individual in New York City outside of emergency service unit. Now, in the borough of Manhattan, at that time, about 6:30 in the afternoon, there's probably about a dozen emergency service officers that are working in the borough of Manhattan for the entire borough. And if you've ever tried to get from lower Manhattan to midtown Manhattan or from midtown Manhattan on the east side to the west side, even with lights and sirens, that's a difficult task. Where the Strategic Response Group has hundreds of officers assigned to Manhattan. And they were the first ones you saw running into the building with their own long guns to challenge this shooter, this suspect in the Park Avenue shooting. Again, they are the only entities in the New York City Police Department that had the capacity to challenge this individual. Now, you had officers on patrol that had their 9mm sidearms that, of course, would have challenged this individual, but they would have been underpowered. So we put all these things together. It's interesting that the mayoral candidate talked about him mourning the victims and mourning the NYPD officer. and talking about his re-evaluated views on policing and his political tap dance because he is close to becoming the next mayor of New York City. And let's state a fact, he is very close to being the next mayor of New York City, which is a travesty for anyone who has anything connected to New York City or any loved ones who still live there, because this is going to be it's going to be jumping off the cliff. I mean, forget about jumping the shark. This is going to be literally throwing everything off the cliff. But he gave that press conference today from SEIU headquarters building with the big SEIU billboard behind him. This is who these charlatans are. And here's someone who's never worked a day in his life. He comes from privilege. He comes from money. Just like the rest of these fakes and phonies that want you to believe they're either, you know, the little girl from the Bronx or, you know, some inner city urban person from Texas. No, these are privileged people who've never done a real job in their life, never worked a hard day in their life. You know, he's even said, this Mamdani, that, you know, if he was in a different situation, he would have to ask his dad for money to help support him. That's the person you want running New York City? Oh, let's hope not. Let's hope not. So that's some of the things. And that press conference just happened here. I'm seeing the breaking news now that Kamala Harris will not be running for California governor on TV right now. So I beat Fox News. I got it to you first. That's why you listen to me. Well, in our area, back to our area, and there's a lot of stories happening in our area. The deadline, if you're in Lackawanna County, to file an appeal for reassessment is Friday. This Friday. So, I mean, today's almost over. You have tomorrow and you have Friday. And if you're mailing it in, if it's not postmarked by a certain time on Friday, they will not accept it. So far, they are extremely under what they expected as far as reassessments. And I'm pretty surprised at that. If you are thinking about doing this, and I highly recommend you at least look into it, you get your reassessment paperwork that was sent to you and your value that they're saying your home is worth. You can go to many tools, Zillow being one of them. You can go to any real estate app, and you can search for homes that have recently been sold in your area. Now, I'm very familiar with the Zillow app. That's what I use. That's why I'll talk about that more. But there are many others, whatever you're comfortable with using. If you have access to multiple listing service, if you have somebody who's in the real estate business, that's even better. You can narrow your search. You could set filters for your search for homes similar to yours. And it's not very hard to do. It's not hard to do at all. And you can get your amount of bedrooms, your amount of square footage, your amount of bathrooms, around the size of the property you have. If you have a detached garage, if you don't have a garage, you could set a lot of filters and just do a search in that area. And search to see what homes that match your criteria. And if you could come up with two or three of them that are severely under what they're saying your home is going to sell for, well, that's evidence for you to bring to an appeal. Now, you have to pay a fee to have this hearing. I believe it's $25 or $35. I don't have it on the top of my head, but it's something like that. There is a fee to do it, but it's not, you know, a crazy fee. And you print out those recent home sales. Now, it'll have what the selling price was for. It'll have when it sold, the date. So you can say, if they try and say, well, this was 2 years ago. No, you can say it wasn't. And if you can't find anything that is even close to your house description, selling for the amount they're saying, that's evidence for you to say, hey, my house is being overvalued here. And let them make their decision. There are some good people on these boards, I believe. And I think if you not only print out the sheets from whatever service you're using, Zillow or any, you know, retail real estate app that's out there, and it's there $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, sometimes $80,000 less than yours, print those out. And then you can go to the Lackawanna County Deed website and look up those exact houses. Put the address in and print that out to show, you know, what those houses – here's the proof from your own website that this house did sell for this amount. If they don't want to take the website, the private website, the commercial website's information that you're using. And it's worth a shot. If you have the time to go down there, if you can print these things out – I mean, I looked at my house the other day, and it took me, you know, 40 minutes to get three comparables that were anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000 less than they're saying my house is worth. Same style house, same kind of property, same amount of bedrooms, same amount of bathrooms. And that's enough to go to them and say, here, you know, here's the comparable home sales in my area that are not even close to what you're saying my house is worth. So how can I possibly sell this house for this much? And they'll look at that and they'll make a decision. And a lot of times they can make a decision right then and there. And you know, what's the worst that happens? You walk out with the same value that you're going to be paying anyway, or maybe they knock tens of thousands of dollars off and say, you know, you're right. Maybe it's somewhere here in the middle, or maybe your house is a little nicer compared to these pictures we have of the other ones. But it's worth a shot. But the fact that they were expecting 7,000 or 8,000 appeals so far, and they only have under 3,000, I believe was said. They received about 2,500 appeals as of Tuesday morning of this week. And they expect at least 650 more by the deadline on Friday. That's well under what they were expecting. They were expecting 7,000 or 8,000. I expected even more than that. So, again, a lot of this is not knowing what your actual tax is going to be. I think when we get the actual tax value, it's going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people. Right now, you just have a home value. It's just a number. They don't have the formula. They didn't give you an estimate. Okay, here's what your new taxes are going to be. I mean, if you think about it, if they gave you a number, an estimate, because they could have, they chose not to because of the appeals. The final number cannot be done. The final formula cannot be done until all the appeals are heard, which I believe will be by November 15th. That number will be out. And then they can estimate your tax. They could tell you what your tax is going to be. Now, if they had an estimate now and it says, all right, my taxes are going to go up $50. My taxes are going to go up $80, $100. You know, they say one-third taxes are going to go up, one-third of people is going to stay the same, one-third is going to go down. I'll believe that when I see it. And Monroe County, who just hired Tyler Technologies, is telling its people the same thing. And we're going to look into that here on the Rob O'Donnell Show when those formulas are out. Who did have their taxes decreased? Who did stay the same? Whose did go up? And I'm kind of guessing that most of ours are going to go up. I don't see how this one-third, one-third, one-third is going to work out, but hopefully it does. But we're going to look into that as well. I also find it odd, again, not a smoking gun, but odd, that a lot of the officials in Lackawanna County that I looked at, their homes were undervalued as per their assessment when you compare it to the local real estate websites that they say their house could sell for or should sell for, where mine was within $170 of itself. My commercial website and my reassessment was in within $170 of each other. So you think, okay, well, maybe they're on the money. And then I look at the comparable home sales in my area, and like I said, anywhere from $30,000, $40,000 to $80,000 less is what the homes were selling for. Actual sales, not what Zillow is telling me the potential my house is worth. Because basically that's what the reassessment is telling you, what the potential of your house could sell for. Could being the key word there. But if you're planning on doing an appeal, and I implore you to download, you don't even have to download it. You could do it right from your browser, but download the Zillow app. You can log in with your Google email or whatever you have. You don't even have to log in if you don't want to. And do a comparable search for your area. And in the filters, you can match it to as close to your house and property as you can. And see what homes are selling for that are compared to yours around your area. And if it's drastically less, and again, this will take you under an hour. If it's drastically less than what your reassessment is telling you your house is worth, I'd print out two or three of them and file for an appeal and bring that paperwork to them when you go for your appeal. Again, worst thing they can say is, nope, you're going to be paying the same. And hopefully they look at the information that you're looking at and they say, oh, you're right. You know, some should get knocked off this. But again, Friday is the deadline. That's the most important part of this conversation, if you choose to appeal or not. It is 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 325, 90 degrees outside. So this is a scary situation up in my neck of the woods. Police charge a German man with illegally entering multiple homes. Now, as you hear the story and you read into the story, hopefully this gentleman, and it seems like their family's involved, gets whatever help they need, because he is truly taking his life into his hands, wandering into people's homes like this. Blakely police charged a German man with entering multiple homes in the borough without permission last week. They were dispatched to a home on the 500 block of Hickory Street on Thursday for a report of an intruder. Homeowner told them she watched the man inside her home petting her dog before leaving in a charcoal gray Hyundai Santa Cruz down Cemetery Street, according to a criminal complaint. Now, I believe it doesn't get into it, but I believe it was via a video stream. She was not home at the time. Her husband showed officers video footage from inside the home of an older male, white male, in a blue shirt. Well, don't tell CNN that. We never know what that description is. In a blue shirt with no shoes on. The footage showed the man seemingly disoriented, walking into a home, petting the dog, yelling and mumbling. The door was unlocked, no items were stolen, and there was no damage, according to the complaint. So the door was unlocked, the gentleman just wandered in, obviously disoriented, no shoes on, petting a dog, yelling and mumbling via the video stream. They said later that day, several people identified the man who entered the home as Thomas Sweeney, 63. I'm not going to give his address, even though it's in the story here from the Times Tribune. After his wife shared the video footage on Facebook, police later confirmed Sweeney was the man in the footage. Officer went to Sweeney's home in German and tried to make contact with him, but were unsuccessful. They were able to get in touch with his daughter, who told them her father had several mental health problems, as well as a drinking problem, which his family has been trying to help him address. While investigating the first incident, officers received a call from another individual who informed them that the same man walked into her residence in the 400 block of 4th Street doing similar actions. A third resident also informed police that Sweeney, her ex-boyfriend, walked into her home, stated he was delivering something and walked out, according to the complaint. Officers questioned Sweeney late Thursday evening, and he said that he didn't remember walking into anyone's home in Peckville or Blakely. Sweeney was later taken into police custody. A judge has arraigned Sweeney Friday on two counts of felony criminal trespass, setting bail at $150,000 unsecured. His preliminary hearing is August 5th. Now, hopefully, while incarcerated and with the family involved, they can arrange to get this gentleman, I believe, what it'd say, 65? 63 years old. Whatever help he needs for whatever mental health issues or substance issues, being alcohol in this case, admitted from the family, that they could get him. Because, listen, wandering into, it looks like, well, three of the people interviewed here were all women. Now, one appears to be an ex-girlfriend. The other one, they interviewed both the woman and her husband, and then the third house was just a woman. But listen, you're wandering into strangers' houses, and it just goes to show you, regardless where you live, you should be locking your doors. If you enter the home, even if you're planning on leaving in 5 minutes, lock the door behind you. I've seen so many videos of predators and people looking to do harm or rob, follow right in behind someone because they realize that a lot of times you don't lock the door behind you. Make it a habit. Anytime you come in, make sure you instill it in your kids. Lock that door behind you. If you're not home, your kids are coming home from school. When they get in that door, lock the door behind them. Or get automatic locks that after 30 seconds, they and even that's a long time, automatically twist and lock themselves. You can do that, you know. But this gentleman is truly taking his life into his hands, because in this day and age, in our area, especially up in the rural portions of Upper Lackawanna County, you walk into the wrong house, you may not walk out. And it would be a shame if this gentleman has some sort of mental health issue at 63, a drinking problem that could be avoided with the proper help. And I understand the issues there. it would be a shame to see a tragedy happen here for not only this gentleman, but the whoever the homeowner is themselves. You never want to be in that position. That's something you'd have to live with, even if it's justified, even if you're 100% legal. It's something you have to live with for the rest of your life, something that is avoidable, which is why I bring it up, which is why I say take precautions. If your door is locked, it gives you more time. They will go on to somewhere else. You know, if they cannot get in, it gives you time to call 911, get a description out there, hopefully get law enforcement intervention before something tragic happens. It is 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show, WILK News Radio, Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. Hump day, we get over today. The rest of the week is downhill. So I'm also seeing some breaking news out of Virginia that is utterly abhorrent. There's no thankfully here, but it doesn't have to do with politics, but it is a politician. A Virginia councilman has been set on fire by an attacker in a horrific office assault. Virginia City Councilman was allegedly attacked in his office after someone forced their way inside, poured a 5-gallon bucket of gasoline on him, and set him on fire, according to authorities. Officials say the attack was personal and unrelated to his role on council. And again, this is a town in Virginia where a Virginia councilman has been set on fire in his office. And, you know, we just talked about locking the doors behind you. And I understand you're a public official. You know, you need some access to your constituents. Even that being said, you know, there should be buzzer systems on any door to where you pick and choose who you're letting in. I'm not saying keep people out, but there obviously are people in this case you wanted to keep out. And I don't think it would have been too hard to notice someone standing at the door with a 5-gallon bucket of gasoline. And if the story, and this is breaking news, I'm getting it from different media outlets here. There's also a picture of the councilman, a young man. Doesn't have his name here in the story that I have the breaking, but that's just insane. And let me see if I can find some more. It doesn't give a status. Danville, Virginia City Councilman Lee Vogler, a Republican, was set on fire in his workplace after a maniac dumped a 5-gallon bucket of gasoline on him. He suffered serious injuries, is all the only report I'm getting here. Lee Vogler doused a 5-gallon bucket of gasoline and set on fire. He was airlifted to a burn center where he remains in critical condition. Police have the suspect in custody. There's a picture at his office, a picture of the young man, and again, probably upper 20s, young 30s, from what I'm gathering from the picture. Police say suspect Shotzi Michael Buck Hayes entered Vogler's office, poured a bucket of gasoline on him, and set him on fire. And again, this is a... The suspect is 29 years old. So, and they're saying it's not related to his politics, but a personal issue. And this is Danville, Virginia. Deranged individual broke into the offices. I'm seeing a few instances where they're saying that does not have to do with politics, but rather more of a personal nature, but I'm not getting any clarification on that. The Virginia Senate GOP, political violence has no place in our democracy, point blank. The Virginia State Republican Caucus is praying for Councilman Lee Vogler and his family in the wake of this senseless and tragic event. Justice will prevail. The coward responsible will be held accountable. And that's coming for the Virginia State GOP. So that's some breaking news coming out of Virginia. And again, for someone to break into an office, pour a 5-gallon bucket of gasoline on someone and set them on fire, just disgraceful act of violence, disgusting act of violence. And I don't care what your politics are. I don't care what the situation here. I truly hope this wasn't politically motivated, but this day and age, who knows? like I said, the councilman himself looks like he's in his upper 20s or mid-30s. The suspect is being reported as 29 years old. And I guess we will find out more information. Again, this is breaking news. The councilman has been airlifted to a trauma burn center and is listed in critical condition, as one would expect. It is 3:41 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Well, this story, again, is also news as it cycles through and we get confirmation on things. I suspected this yesterday when I heard the report of a body being recovered near the Avoca Airport. And as you know, there's been a missing music man that we've talked about here on the air, and there's been social media posts all across our area by different entities looking for information for this young man. Well, it's just been confirmed that the body found near the airport is that of 23-year-old Nicholas Terry, who was last seen at his home yesterday. Luzerne County detectives received a report of a body in the wooded area off of Navy Way Road in DuPont and Wilkes-Barre Scranton International Airport property. Luzerne County coroner confirmed the identity of the body as Terreri. Authorities noted that the investigation did not reveal signs of foul play and that the cause of death was not suspicious. So, I knew that they recovered a body yesterday at in the vicinity of the airport and the property there, and I knew we had the missing person from Music. And you start putting those two things together, and it was just been confirmed a little while ago from the coroner that it was in fact the same person. So, our condolences go out to the family and friends. I know there's been a big outreach on social media from different entities looking for information and the whereabouts of this individual. I believe he drove an Uber from a couple of things that I read. So I guess we'll find out more. The fact that they do not suspect foul play, there are no signs of foul play, and the cause of death not being suspicious leads me to believe of either some sort of accident or some sort of medical emergency. Don't know anything about the individual's, health background, but it very well could be, a mixture of both. I mean, was he dropping someone off or picking someone up at the airport if he is an Uber driver? Did he just veer off the road? I believe the last time he was seen was like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, one of the nights earlier in the week. I think the community as a whole will be looking for answers here, but the fact that they did put out that the investigation does not reveal signs of foul play and the cause of death is not suspicious should put the community at ease. It does not put the situation at ease. We have a young man here from our area whose life is gone now, and you'll have friends and family and acquaintances of that individual that will mourn, and it's a sad report for our area. These are not things that we like reporting on here. But again, the moment I saw, especially with my former background, a body in our area, we don't commonly find a lot of bodies in our area, and that's a good thing. But the fact that within a few days we had a missing person and then a body discovered kind of puts up some concerns right away. And, I was going to talk about the body being discovered at the airport, but I'm just seeing now that it has been confirmed that it is the body of the missing 23-year-old music man. So, sad reporting from our area. The fact that there is no threat out to the community, the fact that this was not or not suspected to be foul play at this time is good news for our area. The last thing we need is to worry about, some individual or some crime in our area causing us more of a concern than we should already have. And again, we talk about situational awareness and all the time, and that still remains the same. You know, you should be constantly speaking to your children, to your spouses, to your family members, to your friends about situational awareness. You know, with my daughter and wife now having Jeep Wranglers, and if you've ever seen that, you know, Jeeps get ducked all the time. I had some friends in law enforcement that saw some of my posts and reach out and said, "Hey, have your daughters or wife been have your daughter or wife been ducked yet? You know, a little rubber duck left on their Jeep." I said, "Yeah," and they said, "Well, check them for air tags because we've had reports of, you know, nuts putting air tags in them so they could track pretty young ladies." It's 3:50 here. Time for the Bloomberg. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Let me tell you a little something about the Goodfeet store, located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard, across from the Olive Garden. They make it easier than ever to feel your best. And I've felt my best with my Goodfeet art supports for over 2 years now. And I wouldn't be telling you about them if I did not use them myself, if they weren't doing something for me. And they absolutely do. I've had nerve ablations. I've had shots. I've had surgeries. I've had to roll my feet on a softball, you know, each and every night just to make sure I could use my feet in the morning because of, my plantar fasciitis and such, which gets tremendously bad. So I walked into the Goodfeet store. Their arch supports are immediately available, and you can experience the difference today or that day like I did 2 years ago. So you could visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call them at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com because you're not going anywhere without Goodfeet. So got some text messages coming in, a lot of different topics, you know, speaking about Jerome Powell and why he won't lower the interest rates. Well, because why would he? I mean, we're going to talk about some economic numbers that came out today, and they're all great. I posted a follow-up to an April exchange that I had on Facebook where one of the listeners and one of my Facebook fans called me an asshole because I was talking about how good the market did that day. And he's like, "The market's down 7,000 points, asshole. You know, just because you had a good day today, you know, this guy's going to crash the economy." And I posted a picture of the Dow and the Standard & Poor and from then, April, to today, and it's been a skyrocket up. It's been the highest it's been. And basically said, "Who's the asshole now?" That's on my Facebook. You could check it out. It was actually pretty funny. Because, listen, if we have interactions like that and you want to call names and poke things, I'm going to archive it and then look back and say, where are we now? But the numbers came out today, and they're just absolutely outstanding. And it's one of the reasons Jerome Powell, the Fed is mixed. The Fed board, you know, some of them said, no, we need to lower these rates. Other nations have lowered their rates on much lower standards than we have not. Listen, it's plain and simple. They cannot have this administration be that successful. They're going to do what they can to slow it down. They did it in his first term when the Democrats had control of the House, with investigations and impeachments and stalled agendas. Well, they can't do that now. And this is why it's rolling through. And this is why everything they've said since January has never come to pass. But we're going to talk about those numbers a little later on in the show. Today, I just did want to thank the texter that I was ignoring them about Jerome Powell. Somebody said, "I caught the tail end. Why are the ducks on the Jeeps?" I see a lot of that. The Jeep Wrangler, and even the Gladiator's included in there because it's sort of like a Wrangler. There's a whole ecosystem of Jeeps. There's the Jeep Wave, which goes back to after World War II when the veterans came home and started buying Jeeps because they used them in the war. And they used to, as they drove by each other, if you had a Jeep, you were commonly someone that was in combat. You were commonly a veteran back then in the 40s and 50s. So when you'd pass another Jeep Wrangler, you'd hold your two fingers up in the sign of victory, V. And that's what's now called the Jeep Wave. Anytime you pass another Jeep Wrangler or Gladiator, you put up the V, it's the Jeep Wave. And you know, anytime you pass another Wrangler, it's you have to get used to it if you're driving a Jeep around, if you've never driven one. There's also ducking the Jeeps, where they take these little rubber ducks. Some of them are decorated or different things, and they place them on the Jeep. How that started, I don't know. But like I said, some friends at my wife's work has ducked her Jeep twice. My daughter's Jeep was ducked already by some friends and neighbors of hers. Some friends in law enforcement reached out and said, hey, you know, if you're just let them know to check the ducks, because they've had reports where, you know, perverts or people see young, pretty women in Jeeps and they put air tags in them and, you know, to find out where they live or to follow them or stalk them or whatever, things like that. So just an advisory heads up, not something to worry about, but just something to be aware of, because if, you know, there's a Jeep on you, if there's a duck on your door handle or on your windshield, you take it off, you know, you look at it real quick. And then they put them on their dashboard and show them. I guess one of the listeners is not happy with my language there. Well, that's what I was called here. So we want to give you the full effect of it. No, I could say that. You know, I could say what I said. Somebody said the duck started during COVID as a sign of friendship when people couldn't gather. I think it was before that, but maybe I'll do some research on the back end of this. We did have that tsunami warning yesterday. There was a major earthquake, and I was just looking at how those earthquakes rolled across from Russia all the way through the East Coast. Now, obviously, we didn't really feel it here. But their equipment did, and if you could see it actually roll across the world, the globe, those earthquakes, it's pretty pretty scary. But there was a tsunami warning for the entire Pacific, including the entire west coast of the U.S. And Hawaii. There were some evacuations. That threat has subsided now. They cleared out all ports just in case it got bad, but an 8.8 earthquake was something else. I saw some video from Russia, some radio stations that were on the air, and 8.8 is no joke. But the tsunami warning for the entire Pacific Ocean is something else as well. And that threat is now subsided. So that was just some more news we were going to talk about today. It's coming up on 4 o'clock here on WILK.